Those that are staying here, turn to Genesis 15. 15. Well, hello, Joe. What are you doing? Out of surprise, you don't generally come on a Sunday morning. That's called just a backslidden. Good to see you. Genesis 15, we're going to just read together. Why don't we stand and let's just read the 6 verses of chapter 15. I'll read one, then you read the next one, and then so on down through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir.
And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own house shall be thine heir.
And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be.
And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness.
Let's pray. Lord, you've been so good to us. We thank you for your rich, rich blessings. And ask you, Lord, to be with us this morning. Be with all these Sunday school classes and be with us here. Help us, Lord, to get something from thy word to be a blessing, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would apply it. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Chapter 14, we see the battle where Abram, with his 318 trained soldiers and his friends and their little armies, I guess all of these little rich men had to have armies just to keep their riches. But at any rate, after they had gotten the victory and they conquered these kings and they brought all this wealth and all these people back, the king of Sodom said, look, you just take all the things. They're yours, you know. And I don't know how much it would be. I don't know what wealth it would have been. But Abram had an interesting statement. He said, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God. I'm not going to take a thing, not even a shoelace. I'm not going to take anything. Now, my friends can take what they want. They haven't made a vow like I've made. But I'm not going to take anything. Now, Abraham evidently had a prayer session with the Lord. And he told the Lord, Lord, I want victory, and I don't want anything for myself. I don't want to be selfish. You know, we'd do a whole lot better if we learned to pray a little bit less selfishly. If we learned to pray for people and for things and for the blessings of God, and not necessarily my job, my car, my house, my son, my ease, my health. But that's what Abraham evidently did at this time. I'm not saying that he always did it, but it's what he did at this time. We see something of his character here. He's telling us that I've lifted up my hand to the Lord. I'm sorry, it's a nice gesture that you're offering me, but I don't want you to go off and say I've made Abram rich. Now, Abraham is rich. I'm sorry, he's not Abraham yet, but I have a hard time calling him Abram. I call him Abraham almost every time I think about it. Almost read it into the scripture here, and I don't mean to. Abram was a very, very rich man. He has a lot of gold and silver, and he's got 318 men on his staff that are trained soldiers. That's just the trained soldiers. Now, if they had an old man like me in it, they wouldn't have me in the trained soldier group. I might be the group that overlooks supper or something, but They wouldn't have me in the trained soldiers because they say, run up that hill. And I say, I'm not 17. I'm not 21. I'm not going up that hill, you know. That's why they don't get all the old men in the army. They want young men. And they feed them with guts, boy. They give it down. Get it. Glory, glory. Jump on that hand grenade, boy. Save everybody's life. Well, he had a bunch of soldiers. Now, they cost a lot of money. In case you hadn't thought, one reason why the government's thinking about getting rid of a bunch of our soldiers right now is they cost a lot of money. And so sometimes we go up and down, and that was my experience when I was in the military. At any rate, he's lifted up his hand to the Lord. He's made a commitment to the Lord. And so then we come down and he's Melchizedek, the type of Christ there. But then in chapter 15, and I think this may be some of the most important verses in Genesis or in the entire Old Testament. I think this is where Moses was trying to take us. Once he started out, we got the history of the creation. We got the history of all the old world. The old world was wicked. It was destroyed. We had one of Seth's seed come through, Noah, and then his three sons, and then they populate the earth. And we start going down through those sons to mighty men, powerful men, and we get to Abram. And when we get here, this chapter right here, this chapter 15, the verses that we read, 1 through 6, are the seed or the beginning of our salvation by faith. Now, we don't have anything mentioned about it earlier. We know that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Enoch walked with God, whatever. But this is the first time you have any mention of people being saved by faith. Not by works. Not by heritage. Not because your father was somebody. Not because you're in the right tribe. Saved by faith. And this is going to be referred to, and I'm going to take you to scriptures in the New Testament. You see, to get a real good, solid look at doctrine, it's nice to have it founded in the Old Testament. You can go back to the Old Testament and see it. And then have it referred to in the New Testament. When you look in the New Testament and you have it where it's defined for you as it's going to be done, as this is a pivotal moment in history. Here we have a great thing. Abram didn't have God in his debt. Do you? Anybody? God owe you anything? I mean, even if you're sick or you're crippled or you have a problem, does God owe you anything? I don't think so. Well, God didn't owe Abraham. God didn't owe Abram. Abraham is not getting a reward for his service. Abram is not getting a reward for his vow. He's not getting a reward for being a soldier. And he even refuses it. It's not because of debt. Has nothing to do with debt. God didn't owe Abram anything. In fact, it's always the other way around. You know, excuse me. You'd do well to get up and thank God every day for just letting you live. You'd do well to thank God when you eat and you enjoy eating. You'd do well to thank God that you've seen the days and that your children are alive or your grandchildren are alive. Because everything you have is a gift from God. Now, I know some of you pulled yourself up by your own bootstraps. Nah, all of us had help. Somebody taught you to read. Hey, if we're speaking English today, you need to thank a soldier. Because we could be speaking Japanese or German or Russian or Chinese or a lot of other things if we didn't have an army that said we're protecting Americans to speak English. Thank God. Thank God for the blessings that you've got. I don't see any Christian, any person who is even fairly familiar with the Bible could not come to the point of view to say, I need to thank God. I'm in God's debt. God is never in my debt. Bible said, though, if you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. And you can't ever be. God will never allow you to have a debt there. He's going to pay it off. So giving to the poor might be a good thing to do. At any rate, he said, I'm not going to take a thread or a shoe latchet or anything, because I've lifted up my hand to the Lord. And so then it says, after these things, after all of this army stuff is done and everybody's gone back to their own home and they're all doing their things again, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. Now, you know, God can still speak in visions if he wants to, but he doesn't many times. He speaks to us in the word. You want God to speak to you? Here's where God will speak to you. And he will. And thank God for this book. I'm glad it's written. I'm glad it's written that I can look down and look at the words and say, that's what God wanted me to know. Do you know I've tried to interpret dreams? Have you ever tried to interpret a dream? Do any of you dream? I dream some of the stupidest dreams I think is possible. I don't know how these things get in my head. I can remember a dream where I'm being thrown off of a cliff by a pink rabbit. Now, what should I make from that? I'm really not sure, but I had that dream more than once. More than once. A great big pink rabbit would throw me off and I'd say, no, and I'd go back up on. You're glad you don't sleep in the next bedroom from me. He's got a vision in a dream. And here's what he says. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Wow. Do you see that? God comes to him in the night. He said, don't worry, Abram. Don't worry about it. I know you gave up a lot of wealth today. I know because of your commitment and your vow that you gave up a lot of things that you could have had. And aren't all of us covetous? All of us. And you know, it's not just modern people. It's all people in the world. Why do these five kings come down and raid these four kings? They're just covetous. It wasn't they didn't have any food. It wasn't they didn't have any gold. They just wanted somebody else's. We're all covetous, and it has been throughout history. We're all that way. It's a shame we are, but we are. And don't tell me you're not covetous. I'll just come look at your garage. That's all I need to do. The things that you are already through with in the house, and you've moved them to the garage, and they're waiting to go somewhere else. Amen?
Amen.
Boy, I tell you. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not. Well, now, that's another thing. Aren't we pretty problematical with fear? Isn't that a big problem? Aren't people afraid of things? My wife did not like the high expressway going over to 10. She did not like driving on that. She didn't want to get her head down when I'm driving. We have a lot of fearful things in our minds. Some people are afraid of water. Some people are afraid to get in a boat. Some people are afraid for somebody else to drive. You know? We've got a lot of fears, don't we? Some people are afraid of snakes. Are you afraid of snakes? I don't like snakes. And I guess it's because the devil was one, you know, but no, that's not it. I'm not that spiritual. I just don't like the slimy creatures. They just don't look good to me. And I know I had a friend or two in high school that they just hadn't kept big snakes and called them pets. How could you call a snake a pet? I don't think they can show any love anyway. We got a lot of fears, don't we? Well, what would be one of Abram's fear? Somebody taking away his wealth? Wouldn't it? If you got a whole lot, aren't you fearful that people are going to take it away from you? Why do you think he had 318 trained soldiers? You're not taking it away from me. Not without a fight. I got some green berets in here. I've got 318 of them. And we're going to fight to keep what I have. Fear not, Abram. I'm thy shield. Now, let me ask you something. How would you like the Lord to be your shield? Is that a big promise? Wow. To me, when I read this and I look at it over the years, I'm thy shield. You know, that would almost give you a cockiness. Almost get you to the place to say, man, come on, bring it. I've got a shield. God's my shield. You can't hurt me. Do whatever you want to me. You can't hurt me. And by the way, the devil couldn't hurt Job without God's permission. I'm thy shield. Now, I like having a shield. Now, didn't do Goliath much good when he went against David. But he had a whole man out there, a grown man, carrying his shield. But it helped him in a lot of battles because that man was a seasoned warrior and it had helped him a lot of times. Shield's a good thing to have. But how about the Lord being your shield? It's invisible. You can't see it. Nobody else knows it. They're throwing rocks at you and think there's nothing there. No, you got the shield of the Lord. How about that for a promise from God? I am thy shield. Oh, and then look at this. I love this. Exceeding great reward. You reckon that's worth more than all the goods of Sodom? I think so. I don't think there's any comparison. I think if Abraham had any spiritual insight in him at all, and I believe he did, he could look at the comparison of all these goods he's brought back from Sodom and all these people he brought back from Sodom and think, the Lord is my exceeding great reward. No comparison. No comparison. If you were wise, if you were spiritual, you'd always choose the Lord. Is there anything physical, gold, silver, diamonds, whatever, that can compare to spiritual blessing? Nothing. I got saved, and it changed my mind on everything. The things I loved and I hated. The things I hated, I loved. All of a sudden, hey, I belong to Jesus. I remember the first time I got myself in trouble for my witnessing in the military. Boy, it looked like they were going to put me in jail and throw away the key. I disobeyed the direct order of an officer. I told him his order was wrong, and I did not obey it. I don't advise you to do it. But when God delivered me from that, wow, how cocky I felt. You can't hurt me. Wow, I've got a shield. I can witness. I can just keep right on witnessing. And bless your hearts, I never had to work another Sunday as long as I was in service. I had two strings on my arm, and I had the job of four strings. They didn't want to touch me with a 10-foot pole. From being scared to absolute death, young boy. Warren Verlin, get ready to go home. They're going to put me in jail. No, they didn't put me in jail. They gave me a staff sergeant's job and left me clean alone the rest of the time. Do you know what I know? That was God. That was God. That doesn't happen to everybody, so don't try it. Don't think, oh yeah, I can just run out there and do that, because I didn't do it that way. I just did it on my own conviction. And God delivered me. Well, that's what he's telling Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What do you want? Do you want a bigger house? Okay, you can build a bigger house. You want a new car? Okay. But you know, like some of these ads on TV are telling you now, you drive the new car off and you get hit and they won't pay you for it because it's already depreciated because you signed your name on a piece of paper. You know, they don't last very long, do they? All these things that we look as valuable, how valuable are they really? They have some value, but not in comparison to spiritual blessings, not in comparison to health or peace of mind. What about peace of mind? Wow, I belong to God. God's going to be my shield. God is my reward. Hey, is the Lord the portion of your cup? What would you give to have the Lord to be your portion? Wow. That's treasure. That has such value to it that it's almost no comparison. You want money and have all the troubles of God being not your shield or your great reward? That'd be stupid. If you could have what Abraham has right here, this is a tremendous treasure. I am thy shield. Wow. Who can get through that? Who can fight God and win? Nobody fights God and wins. I know. I've witnessed enough people. I've talked to enough smart aleck tough guys. I'm going to tell that old man up there. Yeah, you're going to fall flat on your face like you're dead. You're not going to be able to utter a word when you meet the Lord of heaven. John, the apostle, the closest friend of Jesus, in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, falls at his feet, is dead when he sees him. What do you think you're going to do? I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Wow, that just is tremendous. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Now, some of you would like to have children now. And you haven't had them in, what, 2-3 years? So you're worried. This guy's 90 to 100 years old. He's been married a long, long time. Sarah has never borne him children. She's even stopped menstruating. She's even stopped being able to produce children. And so he's looking at God. God, you promised me an heir. Now, I don't know how the promises that have you had in your life, how many of them have been hurtful, how many of them have been sad, or whatever, but this was a pretty sad one for Abram and Sarah. He didn't have a son. He wanted a son. He wanted an heir. That could have, all this wealth. What do you do all this? What are you going to do with all this wealth when you die? Well, hopefully you can give a little of it to your kids. Well, he didn't have a kid. He said, if I die right now, and I'm an old man, if I die right now, this Eliezer is going to get everything I've got. So he's got a complaint against the Lord. Lord, why? Only thing I can think of is, the greatest man of faith is being tested in his faith. Big time. Big time. And we'll see next chapter how he's tested again. But anyway, God tells him, verse 4, behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. Now he's telling him again. He's an old man. This is not a 20-year-old. He's not talking to a 30 or 40-year-old. Talking to a man above 90. And he tells him, he said, this shall not be thine heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Well, it hadn't happened yet. And he's been married a long, long time. He married his sister. You know, Mrs. Ur of the Chaldees. He looked at that young, pretty little sister and said, now, I'm not letting her get full grown. Dad, can I marry Sarah? He said, yeah, sure. And so he's had her a long time. Beautiful, beautiful girl, evidently. I don't know what she looked like, but she had to be beautiful. And stayed that way, kept that way through much of her life. Amazing to me. Sometimes when I read about that, I think, I don't know. It's hard for me to believe. That's one of the hardest things for me to believe, is how a woman 90 years old can be pulled into somebody's harem. Wow. That blows my mind. Your air is going to come out of your own mouth. I'm going to give you a son. How hard is that to believe? That's hard. It hadn't happened yet. Good night. Look at all these years. How long have they been married? 70 years? 65 years? No child? No, Abram. Your heir is going to become from your own bowels. Now then, think about this. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars. They could tell the stars in this day. It amazes me. But we don't know the stars in our generation like they did then. Anybody, everybody, they studied the stars at night, the planets. It's amazing. And I can find the North Star and the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. When I was in Guatemala, I could see the Southern Cross. But what about all those stars? These ancient people, man, they studied those stars. They memorized them. They taught them to their children. He said, come out here and look at all these stars up there in the heavens. If thou be able to number them, and he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So big you can't number them. Well, that's something. What about now? Did Abram get a big seed? Good night. Did he have a big seed? You have Ishmael and all that came out of Ishmael. Then you have Isaac and all that came out of Isaac and down the line. And then you have the sons of Keturah. I'd say Abraham had a whole lot of seed. And the ground is covered with people who can trace their inheritance back to Abraham all around the world. But look at verse 6. This is just, it's so simple that you just might overlook it. And he believed in the Lord. He did what? He believed. He believed. God told him, your seed is going to be like that. It's going to come out of your loins. He believed it. And he counted it him for righteousness. He didn't count his military exploits for righteousness. He didn't count his having a great attitude towards the war and saying, I don't want anything for me, I just want victory. He didn't count that. Because if he had, Abram would have been getting something by debt that God would owe him. No, son. This is an impossible thing to believe. I know you can't believe that Sarah, at her time in life, can have a child. I know you can't believe that all these things, and yet he did. He believed. Now, what did he believe? He just believed that God would keep his word. Isn't that what it is? He believed that God would keep his word. He believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. All right. Turn to Romans chapter 4. I'd like you to go in your Bibles to Romans chapter 4, if you will, please. I've got several verses in Romans chapter 4. Now, Paul makes a lot of this. The Bible makes a lot of this. Now, if you're one of those that believe that God is going to bless you for your works and that your salvation is by your works or your baptism or your being good or your being righteous, well, then you won't count it as much. But if you're one of those that understands salvation is by faith without any works of the law whatsoever, and that God does not owe it to you as a debt, and if he gives it to you, it's all a grace, then you'll appreciate these verses. Look at Romans chapter 4, beginning at verse 3. 3, 4, and 5. For what saith the scripture? All right, now he's been reading the scripture where we've been reading the scripture. What saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's what I just read. Now let me tell you something. When you got that verse in the Old Testament and you got that verse in the New Testament and the New Testament explains it as it always does, you got solid doctrine. You got solid doctrine. You just go back to the Old Testament, it's not in the New, forget it. You're going to get yourself all messed up. But when you can find the verse in the Old Testament and the New Testament takes up that verse and quotes it and then the apostle explains it, you got solid doctrine. You can hang your hat on it. Hang your life on it. What saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. I just read you that out of Genesis 15. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. What did Abraham do? He believed God. He took this impossible promise, this promise that, humanly speaking, was already passed and over and couldn't happen, and believed it. God said, this is what I'm going to do. And Abraham believed him. And he says, he counted that for righteousness. Now, you know, you take your Bible and you read it, and you might be reading it in an interesting sort of way or sort of curiosity or whatever, but you get a hold of a verse there and you believe it. That's what he's doing. You look at what the Bible says and you say, that's God's promise to me. That's what he's doing. How did you get saved? Let me tell you. You believed. You believed. Well, you might have went to Sunday school a lot. You might have been baptized one, two, three ways. You may have had good parents. You may have had a good friend leading you along the way. But somewhere along the way, there was a promise made by God Almighty through this book, and you believed it. You believed it. That's how you got saved. And God counted that for righteousness. You're not very righteous. Look ugly as homemade soap to me. There's just nothing attractive there except that guayabera. I need to lend you a razor. What did you do? Believe? Praise the Lord. You didn't get it because you wore a nice shirt. You didn't get it because you didn't shave. You didn't get it because you came to church. You didn't get it because you're a good guy. You got it because you believe what God said of himself. Wow. I think about it all the time. You've heard my story so many times, you could probably quote it to me better than I can give it. I'll probably give it wrong. I didn't know, although I had the Bible, I'd went to Sunday school, I'd memorized scriptures, I didn't know a whole lot about the Bible. But I believed it was the Word of God. What was taught. I didn't know a lot about getting saved, but I believe that if a sinner would repent of his sins, and I understood repentance, and believe in the Lord, he'd save him. That's all I knew. That's all I knew. Think about that a minute. How simple. How simple. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Lord, if you'll forgive me, I'll take Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It's that simple.
Amen.
Isn't that what it said?
Yes.
It's just as clear as a bell. He believed and he counted it to him for righteousness. And God said, you're righteous. Well, I don't feel righteous. Amen. It took me a while to clean up my language. Took me a while to clean up some things out of my life. And some of them were tough as nails to get rid of. I know what addiction is. I smoked 16 years and quit when I was 21. Oh, man. Do you know something? Cigarettes still smell good to me. Pipe tobacco smells good to me. But I haven't smoked. But oh, for 3 months, I thought I was going to go crazy. Because I just did it cold turkey. I just took them out, traded my camels for a New Testament. And every time I wanted to smoke, I said, oh, Lord, and I read Scripture. You know how much I smoked? I read the New Testament 20 times the first year I was saved. That's how much I smoked. Oh, I was having nicotine fits. You better not get on something like that. It might get a hold of you. Wow. Now to him that worketh, are you a worker? I've met some. Have you ever met any of these workers? I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this, and I'm faithful in this, and I'm faithful in this, and I don't do this, and I don't do that. It doesn't matter. It's not going to save you. It's not going to keep you out of hell 1 minute. It's not going to give you eternal life, and it's never going to be counted for righteousness. There's a whole lot of people that don't do that. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly. I have believed on the one that justifies the ungodly and makes them righteous. Wow. You talk about a gift. You talk about grace. You talk about God's blessing. Wow. Justifies the ungodly. I was ungodly and God justified me. Wow. I love it. I love it. Look at verse 20. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. It didn't break him. He knew how big it was. He staggered not through unbelief. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. God can do anything. You believe that? You need to. God can do anything. Nothing's too big for God. You have not met a problem yet that God couldn't solve by just speaking a word. Like that. Why doesn't he solve it? I haven't the slightest idea. I don't even think you'll ask him when you get there. You'll just be so happy you're there, you'll be jumping up and down.
Amen.
Now look at verse 21. I just love this verse 21. And being fully persuaded. Have you ever thought about that? Fully persuaded? Are you fully persuaded? Well, Abraham was fully persuaded. Abram was. Keep calling him Abraham right here. He's not Abraham yet. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. Here's where Abraham's faith was. If God says, I can have a son and all those heirs, he can do it. If God says it, I'm convinced. He was fully persuaded what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness because he believed in God. You know what? These stupid atheists, they really cutting themselves out of blessings. You get blessings by believing God. You get a blessing if you look at this world and say, this is the creation of God. You get a blessing if you can look at that book and say, hey, that's the word of God. You get a blessing if you say, I know God hears and answers prayer. They counted it to him for righteousness. Believing counts it for righteousness. All right. Look at Galatians chapter 3. I got a bunch of verses I want to get through. I'm having fun in case you aren't. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Wow. Hey, you know what it's talking about? It's talking about Genesis chapter 15. It's referring to Genesis chapter 15. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. I'm the heathen. Any Jews in here? If you got Jewish blood, you wouldn't be called a heathen, but I'm one of those Gentiles, Heinz 57 varieties. I won't let them take my DNA and trace it back. I don't know how many outlaws they'd find. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. That's how I got saved. I had religion 10 years. It didn't do me much good. But then I got salvation. By faith. Just by believing God and looking up and talking to Him. Wow. God, I'm a sinner. I've done this. I've done that.
Amen.
I don't want to go to hell.
Amen.
I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe He died in my place.
Amen.
Will you save me? Yes, He will. Yes, He will. Verse 9. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We just got into good company. Do you know sometimes you're in the wrong company? I've tried to tell my kids that. You know, I tried to tell kids in school. You ought to be careful what company you keep. And if you want to get out of your addiction, you want to get out of your sin, you're going to have to change your friends.
Amen.
You keep hanging around with the same people, you're going to keep going back to the same stupid stuff. You got to change your friends. I lost all my friends when I got saved. And then I joined the church and I had an instant bunch of friends. And they've been so good for all these 58 years. Wow. Good things. Good things. Okay, now look at verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Now, I have had some people, sweet Christian people, that wanted to be under the law. Well, you're just putting yourself back under the curse. The law is a curse. You know what the law is for? To show you you're a sinner.
Yes,
sir. I can't read the Ten Commandments without saying guilty, guilty. Guilty. You read them and say, innocent, innocent, innocent. You stupid thing. Every time you look at the Ten Commandments, you ought to say, guilty, guilty. How about Jesus 2? Love God supremely, love your neighbor as yourself. Guilty, guilty. Every day. Oh, and bless your heart, your little self-righteous soul, you too. Well, I've met some righteous people who will not admit to being unrighteous. But I don't care how many degrees they got, they're pretty stupid. They are not looking at themselves as they ought to.
Amen.
So then they, verse 9, which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things. All you got to do is break one law. Just one. On one day. That's all you got to do. Break one law. One day, you're cursed. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham, there's Genesis 15. That's Genesis 15. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Wow. Is that solid doctrine? Can you beat that anywhere? Is there any doctrine in any of the religions of the world that can touch it? Not with a 10-foot pole. Compare that, Christianity, to every kind of religion and even all the Christianity that has that works up in their minds. They're not on the same scale. You can't possibly compare them. There's no comparison. Wow, what a blessing. Okay, I'm going to read one more verse to you out of the New Testament. 2 Corinthians. Actually, three verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 19. And I got 5 minutes. And I'm going to get them in. Believe it or not, I'll make a believer out of you. To wit, or to know, what can we know? That God was in Christ. Christ is God. God was in Christ. What was he doing in Christ? Reconciling the world unto himself. Woo! Who did this? God did this. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he was buried in that barred tomb. That's why he rose from the grave. That's why he's coming back. Wow. This old book gives you a lot of blessings. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. Wow, he didn't put my sins on me. Oh, I had the sins, but he didn't impute my trespasses. And hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. You know what I'm doing? I'm preaching reconciliation. I'm preaching you can get close to God. I'm preaching you can come back from all the sin you've ever lived. I'm preaching that God can forgive anything and that God will take you if you believe. All you gotta do is believe, but you gotta believe.
Amen.
If you're so stupid that you can't see God when you look at this world, you're in trouble. Every day I look out, I see God. When I look at me, I see God. When I look at a little baby being born, I see God. When I see the dirt that grows a redbud tree, I see God. Wow, I see God everywhere. Don't you see him everywhere? Don't you see him in your eyes? How about your brain that's supposed to have more connections than there are stars in the heavens? I don't understand that. What could we do if we could just use 20% of our brain? I don't tell him. I believe Jesus used 100% of his. That's why he could walk on water. Do some other things, maybe. Oh, man, the word of reconciliation. That's why these guys go out on the street corners. That's why they're living in Poland. That's why they're living in Mexico. That's why they've gone to the tribes around the world. That's why they translate the word of God into the language of the people. Word of reconciliation. God will take you back. God will forgive your sins. God will clean you up. God will save you forever.
Amen.
You can be a child of God.
Amen.
Wow. And all by faith. None of it by works. Someone said, well, you've been preaching 58 years. You got a lot of... No. I don't have anything except what has been given to me. And I've been given a lot. I'm one of the luckiest, richest, most blessed persons you've ever met. Now then, are you in here? Are you in this verse? Are you looking at it? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We're preaching the word of reconciliation. We want you reconciled to God. God is coming to you in your rebellious state and saying, repent, come to me, I'll receive you. What an opportunity.
Amen.
What an opportunity. That's why they go down on the streets. That's why they pass out tracts. That's why you get excited preaching. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we, who were full of sin, might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the blessing of Abraham. That's what started at Genesis 15. And that's good doctrine.
Yes,
God bless you.